Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 79, recorded Wednesday, October 30th, 2024.
It's showtime.
Yes!
Yes! Yes! All right.
Very good. Is this for real?
Yeah, is this
exactly.
For real?
Is this for real? Who the fuck are you?
Dude, I got second episode of that, the last season of that.
I did too.
Dude, I'm going to miss it when it's gone.
On the Penguin.
I still got to catch up on that too.
Wow, I can't believe it. We're episode 79. Next month will be episode 80. Jesus. Wow. Woo! All right. Wow. Well, let's get started with some horror news. So, Synapse Films has finally announced Trick or Treat, available for pre-order, and started shipping today, and I got my copies today. Finally! $66.66 for the collection. There are 2,222 copies of each of the variant cover cases, and you can buy all three at once for a discounted amount, but those are sold out now. You can no longer buy all three.
You got it, though.
I did get all three, yes.
Way to go.
Woot, woot.
Exactly. Dude, they announced that they were working on, they got the 35mm negative and they're working on cleaning it up and doing a 4K restoration 2 years ago. I've been waiting 2 years for this. I even had bookmarked the Synapse podcast website because that's where they were going to announce it. And then just out of nowhere, on Monday, they're like, hey, it's available for pre-order. We're shipping it on Wednesday. I'm like, what? What? So I just ordered it, and that was it.
Good times.
Today, Disney released a trailer for a bunch of new stuff coming out, and one that I noted in there is the new Marvel Zombies, slated to come out in 2025. It looks like it's going to come out in October of 2025.
That's a good time to let it go, you know?
Sounds good, yeah. I mean, Marvel Zombies. Like,
Go ahead. How long has that comic book been around?
Marvel Zombies?
Yeah.
Not that old,
though, right? It's not that old.
Yeah, the original series was like in 2011, I think.
Okay.
It was written by the guy that wrote The Walking Dead. What's his name?
Yeah.
Can't remember his name for some reason.
Robert Kirkman,
that's correct. He wrote the Marvel Zombies. And then there was a second Marvel Zombie series that he did not write. And now there's a third one going on right now that's more of kid-oriented. It's called Marvel Zombies something. Okay. Mm. It has like the Guardians of the Galaxy and shit in it. It's not that great.
I was going to say, the only thing about that that trailer was that they didn't show as much of that one as they showed of some of the other things.
Yeah, and I think it's because I believe that they're not actually done with the episodes there.
They got some done, so they just want to throw it in there to.
Right, I could be wrong, but I know that it is slated to come out in 2025, according to the rumors that were being published on Murphy'sMultiverse.com. They were saying that it's slated for October, and then we saw the trailer that came out this morning. So. Mm. One other thing that's in the trailer, not necessarily horror related, but Miracle Man. I'm kind of excited for that. Because Miracle Man plays a big role in White Vision.
I don't think I saw that. I don't know him, so I probably just didn't, you know. I thought the Neighborhood Spider-Man looked good.
The Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man was clipped in there. They had Miracle Man, the new Daredevil with fucking Mayor Kingpin. Dude. I can't express how excited I am about Devil's Reign, that they're actually bringing some of that to the screen is going to be fucking amazing.
You think we have to see a bunch of the villains that Mayor Fisk hires as his police squad?
In that clip there, I saw Bullseye. I saw there was another villain I saw on there too, and I can't remember his name. He had a leather strap on. They showed him from the back, but I saw Bullseye in there. So that means we got Bullseye back, which I thought they killed him at the end of the Netflix one. Didn't he get killed?
It's Marvel, man. How many times do people die in Marvel and come back?
You know what
Deadpool's
they say about
it? And is being brought back again.
Well, Deadpool can't die. That's the problem. But, what the hell happened to Craig? We lost him.
I think he got tired of the Marvel talk. Craig, come back. We'll stop.
We'll stop. I promise. they always say in the comic books, if there's no body and no funeral, they didn't actually die.
So. Yeah.
All right. Monsters Unchained video demos the new Dark Universe animatronics. That video looked fucking great.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that walking Frankenstein was like, wow, that is fucking awesome. I'm kind of excited to go there next year now.
Yeah, we're going to Disney World in June. Nice. And I think that opens in May, right?
Yeah.
I think I might take a day away from the family and go over there myself.
Yeah,
hang out in the dark world.
Yeah, I was thinking about going down there. My sister asked me to go down there in June because there is the Warp Tour in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
In June, and I'm like, I'm not gonna fly, and then my kids want to go, and then I gotta fly them, and then it becomes this whole thing. I'm not spending $10,000 to see a concert. It's bad enough the VIP tickets were. I bought VIP tickets here in Long Beach because it's gonna be in Long Beach too, and it's like $800 for two people.
That's right. I forgot you said that it was gonna be there. I just saw a message from Craig. His laptop decided to restart on him.
What the shit? Windows update was probably he didn't. That, is that his old laptop? Because if he just started it, it probably ran Windows update. It ran Windows update and then rebooted his.
Well, it's going to be a while depending on when the last time he used it.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Woohoo! was Windows update running and rebooting your laptop since you haven't? Is that your old laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we figured. We figured you probably booted it up for the first time in a while. Windows update ran and screwed you.
Yep.
Gotta love Windows.
We were talking about the Universal Dark World in the
Frankenstein. The video of the new animatronics that are going to be at the Dark Universe.
Yeah. Looks freaking amazing. I saw that. I was going to share it, but yeah, you got it in there. Yeah, they look cool. You're going to have to come out.
Yeah, I think we got to do it next October. I think we need to plan something for next October.
So what is it? May it opens up.
Yep.
Yeah. I also posted to Facebook the Terrifier, the arcade video game. It's a side-scroller beat-em-up featuring Art the Clown. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it does.
I bet it's not going to be difficult either. It'll be just something fun to play.
Yeah, I didn't see. What's it on?
Didn't see any details.
Just saw, a Halloween and Ash versus Evil Dead side scroller too.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I saw that. I think that's for like all platforms too. I think I did see that.
Nice. Yep. I used to have a really great one on the iPhone many years ago.
Yeah.
That they lost the licensing for and it's long gone. It was a castle defense. You just had to get the arrows and it had all the sound clips from Ash versus the or Army of Darkness. Which is freaking great.
That was a good game. That was like the only good Evil Dead game.
Yeah, I used to love that one. When they started up, it would say, "Thank you, strange one."
Yeah. And yeah, I think that you get to mix worlds too. Like Michael Myers is in like the cabin in the woods and shit.
Right.
Cool. And then Ash is, they mix worlds too. It's kind of fun, it looks like.
Sweet.
I posted also in our Facebook group a trailer for the new He Sees You When You're Sleeping, a new Christmas horror film. This is going to be coming out on demand and digital streaming November 1st.
Wow.
It's written by David Lennick, directed by Charlie Steed, starring Caroline Williams, Laurie Marie Taylor, Nicholas Vince, Cedric Jagel, Christopher Collar. It says... Chester returns home, returns to the home of his estranged, hideously overprivileged family at Christmas, only to find an unknown killer disguised as Santa in an outfit, stalking and killing his family members one by one.
That sounds
in order
original.
To claim the huge family fortune, which one of them is the killer?
Well, actually, that's the twist, though.
Yeah.
Trying to get the family fortune. I was going to say that's been done 1,000 times. But
a million times. A million.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. Yeah. Santa Slay. That was a good one. Santa Slay.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Santa Slay is one of the best comedy horror Christmas ones.
Yeah.
According to Variety magazine, in an interview with Damian Leone, he says Terrifier 4 is greenlit and in the works, and he may do a Terrifier 5 to wrap it up.
Wrap up what story? Well,
that's what I'm saying.
I'll save my comments.
He says he wants to wrap up Art the Clown. So,
oh well,
I think he could do that in Terrifier 4.
He's got two more. Yeah, I was gonna say he's got two more chances to fucking do something. But
this is what he said. This is what I think. I think they should wrap up Art the Clown in Terrifier 4.
Yes.
Or wrap up the story that, you know, they're just pieced
doesn't
together.
Exist.
You just do standalones of him, like, you know, fucking people up, like, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing to keep in mind that's going to perpetuate this film. This new film that just came out, okay, they spent a budget of $2 million to make this movie. So far, as of this morning, Box Office Mojo has it listed at making $55.1 million.
That much. Holy shit.
Highest grossing unrated movie ever.
Highest grossing unrated movie ever in the history of film.
Wow.
You got to milk that cash cow.
Exactly. Like, you don't go, okay, I'm done, and walk away. No, even if you spit out a shitty script, people are going to come and see it.
He's going to want to stick another $55 million in his pocket, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is fucking insanity.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
well, now he can hire a writer. Hopefully, reinvest some of that.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Like I said, I'll keep.
I think he wants to pocket most of the money for himself. Let's just keep. Let's put this into perspective, right?
Yes.
The MPAA was organized in 1968. So that's the history of film ratings. 1968, the MPAA came up with multiple ratings. They came up with G, PG, PG-13, R, and NC-17, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes to release an NC-17 film because nobody goes to see them.
Yeah.
So the gamble here...
Unless you like titties.
Right. The gamble here was just release it unrated. Don't go to the MPAA. And most people don't do that either because you don't get wide releases. Yeah. Just to give you an idea, this was released in 2,762 theaters. Just to compare that to, say, one of the shittiest films of the month, Venom, that was released in Venom was released in 4,131 theaters. More
than
much
they spent
double.
On that movie.
Dude, that movie is so funny because I read this article today and it says the director and writer of The Joker 2 is jumping for joy because he actually beat Venom. Oh my God. Anyway, Terrifier video game. And what was the last one we were talking about? Oh, Terrifier 4 is in the works. It's been greenlit. He's got double the budget that he had last time and he's already writing it. So we'll see where it goes from here. He says he doesn't want to drag it out beyond 5 films. He may wrap it up after the 4th, but he's thinking about it. Bottom line is money talks. He's gonna do a fifth one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about this while you guys were here visiting. The new Monkey teaser trailer. I posted that up on Facebook. The Monkey is based on the short story by Stephen King and is produced by James Wan, written and directed by Osgood Perkins, and it's in theaters February 21st, 2025.
Long Legs. Yeah, if it's anything like Long Legs. It's going to be good. That was good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, dude, you can't beat that. You can't beat that fucking power that those guys have.
Absolutely. I just published on our Facebook once again another trailer for the film Werewolves. Werewolves stars Frank Grillo. If you remember him, Frank Grillo was in. He was in the story of the Ferrari story, and he was also
in the Marvel movies too, right?
He was also Crossbones in the Marvel movies. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
which is it's sad that they killed him off because Crossbones is a pretty great character, but they just like killed him. Werewolves.
Like
yeah, he's a pretty good actor. He started out as a stuntman, I believe, and then became an actor.
So this isn't the Universal No.
No, this is like a independent film. It's going directly to streaming.
Oh, okay.
It stars Frank Grillo, Lou Diamond Phillips, and Karina Law. Yeah. Werewolves to show us that a supermoon event triggered a latent gene in every human being on the planet, turning anyone who entered the moonlight into a werewolf for that one night. Chaos ensued, and close to a billion people died. Now, a year later, the supermoon is back.
Oh, boy.
I like that. That's a good story. Like, I like the concept of that.
Yeah. And you know what? The special effects kind of looked good. Frank Grillo's a decent actor. Lou Diamond Phillips is a decent actor. I'm pretty sure it'll be a good film. But it looks like it's going directly to streaming, which is fine.
Yeah.
Streaming is like the new VHS. Remember back in the days, films would go right to VHS.
Yep. The first Power.
Yeah, I love that film.
It's great. Great movie.
On X, an X post confirmed that Alien Romulus is going to be releasing a special VHS widescreen edition available for VHS collectors. It's a weird trend. It started with Onyx the Fortuitous last year. He released a VHS. And now Alien Romulus is releasing a VHS, and I saw that Long Legs is going to be releasing a VHS. So
like people playing vinyl.
Yeah, so like if you're like a retro fan and you like that shit, you can buy the VHS copy of it. Very fucking weird.
Collect vinyl.
Yeah. Let's see. Bruce Campbell, in an interview with comicbook.com, confirms that Evil Dead animated series is underway, but don't hold your breath. It's going to take some time for it to come out.
Yeah, it's all right. As long as it's coming out, I'm good.
He says that Evil Dead animated series is being developed alongside with a couple more movies, but they're all a long way off. Megan 2.0 is announced, according to Hollywood Reporter. They had an interview with a Fox executive, Fox executive talking about all the films upcoming. Jason Blum on Thursday, mega producer Jason Blum and actress Allison Williams were at hand at New York Comic Con to offer a brief preview of Blumhouse and Atomic Monster's anticipated sequel, Megan 2.0, with fans also privy to exclusive looks at the new details around four other studios' upcoming titles. Megan 2.0 plot regards Megan. The plot details are non-existent. They just give a sneak peek, reminiscing over the old movie, viral success in 2023. However, they confirmed that the filmmakers of the original cast and the original filmmakers are back for the sequel.
Nice. I liked it. I thought it was going to be bigger, the unrated version.
Yeah, he said it's going to be a bigger and more expansive film than the first one. According to Hollywood Reporter, Black Phone 2 is a high school coming-of-age film. Again, Comic-Con, Jason Blum gave a sneak peek to fans of the up-and-coming Black Phone 2. It's written by C. Robert Cargill, directed by Scott Derrickson. Scott Derrickson, who did the first film. He also did Doctor Strange. Like he really does some great films.
Nice.
The movie did really well, and they weren't sure that it was going to, and it did. And the fact that it did well made them say, hey, let's do a sequel. Can we figure out how to do a sequel? And the director said, yeah, let's get writing. They thought about it, did some writing, returned and told Jason Blum, here's the idea for the sequel, and they will only do it if they can get Ethan Hawke to come back. And Ethan Hawke says, sure, why not? Music to my ears. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they do a sequel.
Yeah, he said it's going to be a coming of age high school thing. I think the idea here is that It Chapter One did so well in terms of a horror movie focused about a coming of age story with kids, was a big seller. I think the Black Phone 2 is just going to try and capitalize on that.
Yeah. Oh, Trick or Treat 2, I guess they're going to push out part 2.
Well, that one is in the works. It's going to take some time. I did see that there was a interview on JoeBlow.com because we're talking about the fact that Trick or Treat came out on 4K this week. I just got it. Watched it last night. The 4K version is awesome. I love that film. I love Anna Paquin. She's so damn hot.
Yep. In that little Red Riding Hood outfit.
Yep. On the JoeBlow interview, he says that the sequel is in very active development. He started working on it last year. It's a really great script. It's in place, and he collaborated with the writers from Krampus.
Oh, sweet.
Nice. It's a good movie.
He said the film will give Trick or Treat's little icon Sam a proper nemesis to face off with.
Hmm.
So what is taking so long for this movie to get into production? Doherty says it's just it's a tricky situation. We're just waiting for that moment to capture some lightning in a bottle. Hmm. He said the first film nearly killed him. And a lot of people don't realize the bulk of all the work that he had to do to write that story, develop the character, develop all this, the stuff, get all the people to back it. He had to get his co-writer from X-Men 2 to help produce the original film. Hmm. A lot of people took some risks on it, and it didn't do well in the theater. It didn't do well until it hit VHS.
Such a great movie, too.
Yeah,
it is a great movie. But what happened is, I think what it came down to, and I watched last night a documentary that came with the 4K version, and I watched the original trailer that came with it. And I'm like, you know what? The original trailer didn't really give you a clue as to what the fuck the movie was about.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
There's a lot going on, though. Yeah, but there's a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Because it's kind of like an anthology, but
it is an anthology. But they're interconnected. With
Very, very well.
Right, and they're interconnected with little Sam, who is like a lesser demon that's there to guard and make sure you follow the rules of Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, fantastic film. I watched it last night. I love it. I love that film. And they gave an interview with the kid that played Sam was 7 years old.
Wow.
Really?
And he was fucking great. And then they interviewed him as an adult, and he's like, I loved it. I was 7 years old, and I loved to play horror games and do horror things. And he's like, pretending that I'm a demon was the greatest job ever.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. For a 7 year old, fuck yeah. But he says he's very happy with the script. It's going to take a little bit of time. He does not want to kill himself making this film this time around. So he just wants to make sure he does it at the right pace and doesn't kill himself. So that seems fine to me. I mean, goddamn, make a good film, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been how long since the first one came out? What's a couple more years?
Yeah, exactly. Mike Flanagan is working on a Carrie series for Prime Video, according to Deadline. It's going to be an 8-episode series running in Prime Video sometime next year. Looking forward to that
October.
One. Probably. There is a rumor going around, according to SuperheroHype.com, that the Blade film has been halted in favor of Midnight Suns film.
Hmm.
That they will introduce the new Blade as a member of the Midnight Suns team before creating a new Blade standalone picture.
It's not a bad idea, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the goal here is, you know, they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at these films and TV shows because they know they're rebooting the universe. You know, we're coming down to Secret Wars, which will be the end of the Marvel Universe as we know it. So they want to introduce a bunch of new teams. They're going to be introducing the Young Avengers from the story The Children's Crusade, and they're going to introduce Midnight Suns as part of this whole thing. So Blade was supposed to provide a major groundwork for Marvel's supernatural sector of the universe. But they've written 5 different scripts and fired 5 different groups of writers, just not finding a story that is worthy of creating a film. Listen, if Marvel wants to take their time writing something good, why not? I'm tired of shit films. I want something that really grabs a hold of me.
Do they bring all those actors in? Like, do they bring Hugh Jackman in and
Robert what do you mean? Downey. Oh, for Secret Wars, they're all going to be there. Yeah, for Secret Wars.
Well, for the Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns? Right? We don't know what the Midnight Suns crew is going to look like. I'm hoping Wolverine like is on it. 13, hoping that they bring... I mean, because think about it. You have Midnight Suns, there's been multiple iterations of it, but my favorite iteration was Wolverine, Ghost Rider.
Spider-Man's in there.
I don't like Captain Iron Man on that team. Captain Marvel's, I don't like Spider-Man there, on that team. I don't like Captain Marvel America, on that team.
Captain
America. I like Werewolf by Night. Captain America is not good on that team. What I want it to be is all the supernatural characters, right? Doctor Strange has got to be on the team. Werewolf by Night's got to be on the team. Moon Knight's got to be on the team. He was on the team a couple times. So that's what I'm looking for. Blade needs to be on the team.
So you got to bring Cumberbatch.
Wolverine's got to be on the team. And Deadpool sometimes is on the team, sometimes not on the team. He might be a good ad.
They'll bring him in to make money.
Yeah, probably, because that's like a big sell there, right? Yep. So according to this article, the rumor is that the Midnight Suns team-up event, they have a good script. That's the thing that's going to come first. So Blade will arrive after the Midnight Suns with his own film. Just to keep everyone in mind, we got Captain America Brave New World coming out in the spring. We got the Thunderbolts coming out. Fantastic Four, First Steps. And then a bunch more before we get to 2028, where we have Avengers Secret Wars. All right. We got Umbrella Entertainment has released the Ultimate Terrifier 4K box set. You can order it now. It includes every single art film that has been previously released.
Even All Hallows Eve? No.
Yes, it has. Let's see if we can bring this up here, because I did copy and paste the.
Well, that would be it, though, right? All Hallows Eve, Terrifier
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was an All Hallows Eve sequel, but I don't think he was in it.
So this includes. No, All Hallows Eve is not included. It has the All Hallows Eve trailer on the Terrifier 1 collection. So we have Terrifier 1 4K HDR. It also has the All Hallows Eve anthology prequel film included. Okay, so that's included with that one. All right. Commentary from Damian Leone and David Howard Thornton, behind the scenes interview with Jenna Cannell. Deleted scenes, clown time-lapse makeup, Dread Central presents Terrifier San Diego crowd responses, Terrifier trailer, and the All Hallows Eve trailer. Then a Terrifier 2 Dolby Vision HDR with director's commentary, behind the scenes and trailer. Then a Terrifier 3 disc, which has Dolby 4K, Dolby Vision, and Damien's extra crunchy audio mix included on there. Exclusive introduction by Damian Leone, exclusive interviews with director Damian Leone, behind the scenes featurette, a bunch of other featurettes, a teaser, trailer 1, trailer 2, and a home video for Nine Ice Kills, a work of art music video.
Nice.
Also includes an extras DVD that has a bunch of extra crap on it. It also comes with a exclusive Terrifier 3 VHS, a 250-page book, behind-the-scenes photos and comments. It comes with an artwork rigid slipcase. It comes with Art's Christmas Sunnies. What the fuck? Oh, it's a little – it's like a comic strip.
Oh,
Art's
sweet.
Christmas Sunnies. Custom artwork slipcase, 3 separate slipcases for each version of the film, 12 art lobby cards, 2 A3 reversible posters, and a limited edition numbered release card. Wow, that's quite the collection. $135 US.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I did not order it. I probably won't.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of room to for all the extra stuff to put anywhere.
Yeah. Netflix teases Fear Street Prom Queen.
Yep.
They released a poster, and they have some interviews up on their website. I'll post a link to our Facebook so you can read the article up on Netflix.com that talks about the future release date for Fear Street Prom Queen. The Fear Street trilogy was so good. Yeah. It was in a ton of our top 5 lists.
It was.
I'm excited to see what they do with another sequel of that.
Me too. I agree. Yep. Coach looking forward to that. That's right. I said totes. What of it?
According to Hollywood Reporter, interview with a Fox executive says that Predator, there are two Predator movies coming out and an Alien movie in 2025. Mm-hmm. Predator. Yes, a Predator movie will have a theatrical release.
Oh, nice.
He says, after Prey became...
the last one.
Yeah, he says, after Prey became such a success, Dan Trachtenberg came back and said he didn't want to do a Prey 2. And we're like, what do you want to do? And he rattled off a whole bunch of ideas that some were really crazy, some were really cool. So we actually have done two of the ideas that he came up with. So there are going to be two films next year.
Sweet. Uh-huh.
One I can't talk about yet. The other one is a live-action Predator film with Ellie Fanning that just wrapped filming in New Zealand.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to be out theatrically next year. Well. As for Aliens Next Step, we're working on a sequel idea right now. We haven't quite closed the deal with Fede Alvarez, but we are going to. He has an idea that we are working on. The two survivors, Rain and Andy, played by Callie Spacey and David Johnson, were real highlights in the film, and they'll be returning in the new one.
Which film were they talking about? Romulus?
Alien Romulus, yeah.
Okay.
We know that there's going to be aliens. We know that there's going to be great horror set pieces. And I fell in love with both of those characters, and I want to see what the remainder of the story is. So we gave Alvarez the go.
Did you see Romulus?
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, loved it. Chris, loved did you it. See it? No.
Waiting for it to stream, man.
Yeah.
Comes out streaming in November, and the 4K ships in 2 weeks. I ordered the 4K already. So. Actually, is it? It might be on Hulu right now.
Oh, really?
Didn't it come out today, right?
Yeah, I think it's out already. It might have been out already, I think, Romulus.
Well, I may watch that sometime within the next week.
No, it comes out. No, is it out now?
I thought I saw it on Amazon or something.
No, it's going to be on Hulu first because Fox owns it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is streaming now on Hulu. There you go.
Oh, all right. Not going to have time to watch it this weekend, but...
That's free on Hulu, I guess, right? You don't have to pay.
With your subscription. Yeah, you have to... All right. We talked about Trick or Treat 2. There's a big article there. And that's it. Okay, so that was the news. You guys got anything extra?
That's a lot of fucking news.
It is a lot of news.
No, I don't have anything new.
It's a lot of news because it's spooky season right now.
That's right. Now, spooky season. That's right.
All right, now we got five flicks to watch. Chris?
I'm doing five movies to watch on Peacock.
Ooh.
And I thought maybe I would just every time it's my turn I would do Peacock because I
everyone likes a big old peacock.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there right now. No particular
free?
Order.
Free?
Well, no. It's Peacock. You got to pay.
Come on,
for
you got to.
No, there are free movies on there,
but not a lot. Not a lot.
But there are, and there's some decent horror in there for free.
Well, I couldn't tell you if they're free or not because
I think there's like five, five free movies, and
what are the possibilities that the five movies that I bring up are the five free ones that they
I
have?
I doubt
that'd,
it.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, so again, no particular order, just five things to watch on Peacock. I talked before, I think, about the Hysteria, the Peacock original series on there about the 80s Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
With Bruce Campbell playing the sheriff of the town.
I heard it's really good.
Three episodes in, and I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
Again, it's a Peacock original. It's not really a movie, but you should check it out if you're a fan of Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
And then I have Drag Me to Hell, which Craig was watching on our flight home from your place.
I did. Yep, I watched it on the flight home.
Dude, I just got the 4K of that in the mail yesterday.
Yep.
Nice.
I put on closed captions because I didn't have a headset. But that it's entertaining.
Dude, he's captions. Working on Drag Me to Hell, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Devil's Rejects. Probably my favorite of the Firefly family trilogy.
Yeah, that's a good
love
one.
That flick. The Purge. Which spawned a franchise. The original, I like the home invasion ones. They always. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, The Purge also spawned a fucking fascist lunatic to give the idea of, why don't we do that one day a year?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a good possibility within the next 5 years we could be purging.
Could have a purge. Yeah,
we could be purging. Yes, yes. I'll probably be one of the. I'll probably be dead. I don't own any weaponry except for like a baseball bat and.
If the purge does happen, I have to fly back to Pennsylvania to get my guns because I didn't bring them to California.
And the last one is Terrifier, which nice. I figured I'd throw on there since we're reviewing Terrifier 3 tonight.
Dude, that first one shocked me.
Was because it was out of nowhere. It was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I never saw All Hallows Eve, but when he cut that chick in half that was hanging upside down,
I just remember.
Didn't we watch it at Craig's house? We watched it at Craig's house, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just that scene with him in the pizza joint, like fucking with those girls.
Yeah.
And then he like just
he shit all over the bathroom.
And then he destroys that pizza guy. Like he fucking just like, you know. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. Five things to watch on Peacock right now.
All
right,
that's good.
Nice. All right. We now got our top five list of top five body horror films. The order is Sal, Chris, Craig. Okay. I got my top five right here. All right. My number five, Tusk.
Yep.
It's a comedy horror, but God damn it, is it shocking?
Yeah, Johnny Depp brings the comedy to it too, right?
Yeah,
the French Canadian.
But if you look really carefully, you'll see that his nose is a penis, and it even has a little vein that goes up the side of
it. Yeah, Chris, have you seen it? You have to see it.
I don't it's think on I did. Something. I thought that I had seen it, but I don't think I did.
You have to watch it, dude. It's good.
It's fucked up.
It is.
Just like, remember.
Human centipede. I'm good.
No. For those of you who have watched Tusk or have not watched Tusk, this was written while Kevin Smith was high.
Yep.
So, and it shows.
Which he doesn't do anymore.
Right. It doesn't look why, like it's streaming. It's not streaming anywhere for free.
No. My number four, The Fly.
Nice.
1988. That's
the remake.
The Fly.
Yes. Yep.
That's a good one.
Fantastic. My number three, Human Centipede.
Oh, yeah.
Still gives me the heebie-jeebies whenever I think about it.
Chris, gotta watch it. You have to watch it. Dude, you have to. I'm going to force you to watch it.
Just don't watch a second one. Just watch the first one.
I don't even
want
to watch the first one. Not happening.
Dude,
just not
happening. Watch it.
Listen, we're going to have
no desire to watch that.
You know what we got to do, Craig? I'm going to come visit Pennsylvania. We're going to Clockwork Orange fucking Craig.
Yeah. Yep. Toothpicks. And the tape.
A little bit of the Ludwig von.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen, it's actually, outside of it being like nasty, it's actually a decent movie.
It's a good horror film.
Yeah.
It's a good horror film.
I'm so horrified I won't even watch it.
All right.
My number two, The Substance.
Okay.
That film is fucking
great. Yeah, we haven't
great.
Seen it yet.
No, haven't seen it.
Makes my mind melt. And my number one body horror film of all time, one of the greatest films of all time in general, The Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. Okay. Indeed.
I've got two honorable mentions. Number one is Society.
Yep.
And number two is From Beyond.
Okay. Mm.
I don't know if I know that one. I've
From
seen
Beyond
it in like the 80s like things.
Barbara
but...
Crampton in a BDSM getup, and it's awesome.
Well, I mean, right there, like I should see that movie.
In her heyday, too.
Yeah, when she was prime meat.
She still is, man. She still is. Barb's still kicking it.
Yeah, yeah. Show. She's up there in her years, but she's still hot. All right. All right, there you go. Very good. Next, Chris.
All right, my number five is Reanimator.
Okay.
Very good one. Very good.
Yeah. My number four is Slither, which Michael Rooker in that movie, just like that big, like fucking gross, like whatever the hell he was. And the fact that that was James Gunn's first, his directorial
feature film
debut. Yeah, it was good. Impressive. And
they played it at the Fourth Horseman a few weeks ago.
Did they? Oh, yeah. Nice. That's a great flick. My number three is one, I think we reviewed this one, Color Out of Space.
Yep.
Yep.
That scene on the couch where the mom and the son are merged together. Melding into that big, I almost vomited watching that. Like, I don't actually watch a ton of body horror because I get too squeamish watching it. Yeah. So it's probably the thing that I watch the least of the horror genre because it just makes me.
Yeah.
My number two, The Fly. You know, like Sal said, the 1986 version.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum, classic. And my number one, also The Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of my top horror movies ever.
Of all time, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of all time, you know, and just the especially for when it was made, the practical effects in that were just phenomenal.
Sure. They still hold up.
They sure absolutely. Do, man. Absolutely. They sure do. I still, having watched that movie 1,000 times, still get like on the edge of my seat, like some parts of that movie. One honorable mention, Teeth.
Oh, that was a great film too, dude.
Yeah, and it's a great concept. It was like just a great concept, like you know, like this young coming of age girl. They flip the script, you know, instead of
vagina dentata.
Yeah. So that's my top five body horrors. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of them, but those are all ones that I've seen and so I made my list.
Fabulous. Nice.
Thanks. Okay, number five for me is Tusk. I think Sal had that number five.
Yep.
Number four, The Human Centipede. Number three, nobody had this one on their list, but Antlers.
Dude, that was a good Antlers. One too.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that the one with what's his name? The kid who played Harry Potter?
No, that's the one.
No, that's Horns. You're thinking of Horns.
Horns, okay.
Yeah, that would have been a good one, too. No, Antlers was the one where the kid's dad was like a miner, and he's like making meth or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He became that, like, whatever that, that yeah. That
was the Wendigo. Yeah, he becomes
the Wendigo. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That was a good flick.
It was a good flick, yeah.
Number two, Color Out of Space.
Nice.
And number one, American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's another fucking great one from the 80s, man.
Yep.
Practical effects.
Hell yeah.
Fucking sweet.
Yeah, Thing in the Fly for my honorables.
Nice. Nice. We had a lot of similar
the
ones on our list.
The Thing in the Fly.
Yep.
Nice. Very good. All right. Wow. That was a good top five. Not a lot of overlap, so that's kind of nice.
Yep. Yeah, I believe we haven't done that one before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was brought to mind because when I watched The Substance, I was like, God damn, that blew my mind. All right. Still blows my mind. I'm waiting for the pre-orders to be available for the 4K because I really want it.
When is it coming out stream? Is there any news about it? No.
It's going to be a while because Mubi that sponsored it, it's streaming on Mubi right now. So you have to have a Mubi account.
Okay.
And apparently it's brought a ton of money to Mubi because so many people want to see it.
Wow.
That didn't go to see it in the theater. So it's going to be a while before they move it elsewhere. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. All right. Now we're going to move on to our movie review. The movie this month is Terrifier 3. That's right. The third iteration of Art the Clown. After surviving Art the Clown's Halloween massacre, Sienna and her brother are struggling to rebuild their shattered lives. As the holiday season approaches, they try to embrace the Christmas spirit and leave the horrors of the past behind. But just when they think they're safe, Art the Clown returns, determined to turn their holiday cheer into a new nightmare. The festive season quickly unravels as Art unleashes his twisted brand of terror, proving that no holiday is safe. Directed by Damien Leone, produced by Phil Falcone, Stephen Della Stalla, Michael Levy, Jason Levy, screenwriter Damien Leone, distributed by Cineverse, produced by Bloody Disgusting and Dark Age Cinema. The genre is holiday horror mystery thriller. Original language is English. It was released October 11th, 2024, worldwide in 2,762 theaters. And the runtime was 2 hours and 8 minutes. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, this was a $2 million budget with a $55.1 million return. In the U.S. alone, worldwide, it's $65.1 million.
And it's still in theaters, so.
And still in theaters, yes. All right, let's get started by saying this. It was gross.
Oh, dude, it was brutal. It was brutal. Definitely of the three, it's probably the most brutal, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say the sheer graphic kill scenes.
Yeah.
I understand now.
And there's no holds barred on the victims either, right?
Right.
Remember, like, the beginning of the movie, you're like, woo.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
How much fake blood do you think they used in that film? Is there like
It was a lot. When we went, we went to the theater together to see this. You guys came to visit here in Long Beach, California. We went to the theater.
We did.
The
theater was first
nearly. It was nearly full.
Yeah.
There were people sitting in the up close to the screen section below, in the front there. So it was nearly full theater.
And it was like a 3:30 film on a Sunday afternoon. So
yeah, it was a matinee. Yeah.
After the movie was let out 2 weeks already, probably 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's impressive.
Yeah. And apparently the numbers are still going. I mean, I looked at, let's see, we'll give Box Office Mojo a quick glance here. But it seems like every weekend it just, there adds a little more bump to it. Let's see. 2, 3, 4 here. Terrifier 3. Yeah, I mean, if we look at the whole week.
Look at the whole. Yeah.
Why the fuck doesn't it break it down for me? What's going on? Did I click the wrong thing here? The opening weekend it made $18.9 million.
Nice.
Right out the gate.
Yeah. And then the following, $21
million. Word got around.
This last week, the week of the weekend October 25th through 27th, made almost $5 million. Nice. Still,
nice.
I mean, that's pretty pretty crazy.
Yeah,
I guess we don't really have to worry about giving like a spoiler warning because I mean, it's a Terrifier movie. There's not really much of a plot, and the story is
The story is, as always, very loose, and unfortunately, you know, I think the goal in Damien Leone's writing is just, how graphic can we make a kill scene for?
Yeah, the story Art itself the Clown. is just a vehicle to get to the kill scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and loosely tie together somehow all these amazing, like, gory kill scenes. With
brilliant. Right? Brilliant kill scenes. He knows how to write that and direct it.
But something stuck me in the craw here, that was stuck in the craw for this, is because in his original interviews last year, he kept saying, I'm going to make the story make sense. I'm going to bring together why Sienna and Art are kind of opposed to each other. He loosely did. Like, they kind of filled in a little bit of backstory with the dad, but not as much as I hoped.
No. And yeah, I mean, like, I kind of was expecting to have a little bit more of it tied together, but
yeah, it got like weird supernatural.
Well, I expected that it would be, right? Because Terrifier 1, he was resurrected from the dead. It is supernatural. He was resurrected and
sucked down into a hole and birthed out of a lady. His head was birthed out of that.
Right. Remember, the lady in prison gave birth to his head at the end of part two, and that's where they started off part three.
Oh, and that was gross. That was so gross.
But the thing that confused me is because the story in part two made me feel like, okay, art is the ultimate evil, mm-hmm. right? Or evil incarnate, right? He's resurrected at the end of part two, so he must be, of Terrifier 1, he's resurrected. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of Terrifier 2, he gets his head cut off, and the chick gives birth to his head. So he's coming back, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking, all right, he must be some evil entity, supernatural, whether it's he's a demon, a lesser demon, the manifestation of evil, whatever. And that Sienna was, you know, this she had the flaming sword and the armor and the wings.
Like an angel.
Made her think like she was the opposing power of good. Mm-hmm. But in this third movie, they made much more of the chick who was killed in the first movie, like she was the ultimate evil and Art was the sidekick or something. Like
He was like a vessel, I think. Like she was like the actual demon and he was like her vessel or something like that.
But then why did he have to get resurrected? Because he's a vessel? To me, it was like in my head, I'm thinking, what the fuck? Demon, you fucked it up. You fucked this story up. It could have been better.
If you're a vessel, you're sort of disposable, right?
Right!
But yeah, they did mention something of why the demon chose Art, and I can't remember what it was, but it was, I forget, because it was just very like matter, like, you know, second stance, kind of like, you know.
I think it was a little drawn on again.
Again, still a little bit.
Not as bad as last time, but still a little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and for the same reason as last time. He focuses too much time on one or two of the kill scenes, trying to make them too long. Like in the second movie, the bedroom kill scene.
Yeah.
It like went on for way too long. It was super, super graphic and great.
Yeah.
But come on, you could have cut that thing in half. Yeah. And the other thing I noticed
it was the bathroom scene, right? Maybe.
Right. It went on way too long.
It was brutal.
Oh my
though.
God, that was brutal.
I winced quite a few times at that one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I found out the scene that made one of the cast members gag was the rat down the throat scene.
Okay.
Oh, that was rough too.
That was fucking rough too, especially when they're hammering the tube down her throat. And then they stick a rat in there and light a fire behind it so it forcibly goes down as fast as it can. It was fucking gross. It was a gross scene.
Yeah, then slit the throat so it comes out.
I was interested in the antagonistic relationship that Art seemed to have with the rats in the movie. Like every time, like there was rats, like he had a problem.
He would like kick him and stomp at him.
And like do his like his little slapsticky, like, you know, like, like I hate rats, but you know, without talking kind of thing. I just found that like interesting. That's like, oh, what do Art's deal is with rats?
Is this for real?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
But I felt, and I think I said this to you guys after the film, I felt like Damien Leone realized that things were running too long and he edited down a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Because they killed the brother off camera.
I was like, what? Like, really? Like, you just. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you focus so much time on killing random people. You should have killed the brother on screen.
Right. So you made me feel something about it. Like, you know, like that's. Yeah.
He was one of the characters we were invested in.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden we just see that he's
just gone.
Yeah.
The was it the father that got killed that we didn't get to see? And then there's a couple people at the end there that's like everyone's killed off camera.
Yeah.
And then they try to wrap it up quick. And I'm like, what the fuck? What happened?
Yeah, and it's not like he doesn't have the money to make a better film. Like,
right. And the thing is, he even says in his in the interview that I read that he said, you know, there is an uncut version of the film. Significantly longer. Oof. And he says he doesn't think fans would really care for it because it's that much longer and that much drawn out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says he thinks he delivered the best version he could for the fans with the one that was in the theater.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, this guy, like, I feel like he doesn't write. He doesn't really have great writing skills. And I feel like his energy would be better focused at punching up somebody's kill scenes in a movie. Like, he's creative enough at that.
Write the kill scenes and pay somebody to write a story. Yeah.
Or I'll bring on a couple writers to help you write the story because to me, the story was just not there again. Like, this is a second film where I felt like the story's not there. The third film, the third film. Cause even the first film.
Oh yeah. That didn't make sense.
He was just killing people. There was no fucking sense to it. Yep. And the second film, they tried to at least bring some story into it, but he was just killing people. And then the third film, the story was like fucked up. I thought we were going to see some actual story and explanation of the origins of him. Why is he alive? Why is he resurrected? Why can't he die? Why is he randomly killing people? Like, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give the argument that I made the other day is that it's a B movie.
Right. You're right.
It's a B movie that all of a sudden just started making a shitload of cash, but it was spawned from an anthology movie of a minor character and then a movie that we all just kind of happened to find on Netflix, like I think a year after it had been released, and it was fresh and it was something different. But it follows a B slasher flick kind of, you know, the acting's not the best, the story's suspect at best.
What happened to that little girl, though? What happened to the little girl?
The little clown girl?
Yeah.
She was now she was the demon in the second one, which was now possessing the faceless chick that like was fall. It's the same girl. Yeah. They did make mention of that at some point throughout the movie.
That was the lady that got salt. No. Yeah. The faceless. No.
Well, the chick that was decidedly that was like, you know, him and her like followed. They fell asleep together in that like abandoned attic for some reason. Yeah. Like she was in the bathtub, like, and he was sitting in the rocking chair.
Yeah.
Like that was the same demon possessing her that possessed that little girl.
Yeah, but that faceless woman was in the second movie, right?
Well, she was the victim.
She was in the first movie too. She was
news anchor lady or something, right? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Was she,
but it was the same demon, supposedly.
Here's the point. The point of all of this is that the writing is fucking not good.
Yes. It makes there's no connections. It's hard to remember because if there is a connection, it's very minimal at best. I totally agree with that. But that's not what I'm looking for when I go to see these movies.
I'm there for the kill scenes
And art to like enjoy. Playing with the murders,
the comedic aspect.
Awesome character. Yeah, awesome
of art. Yeah, right. But I feel like it would be better as like a couple short stories with art in it.
It's like when they take a Saturday Night Live skit and make it into a movie.
Yeah.
You know, the movie ends up just being a bunch of like skits that they piece together by some like kind of story. You know, like Night of the Roxbury or some shit like that.
Yeah,
that's what this is. It's fucking awesome kill scenes pieced together by what he hopes is enough of a story to keep people like, you know, waiting for the next kill scene. But again, two hours and 5 minutes is still a bit long. An hour and a half to an hour 40 tops for if you're going to try to pull that kind of, you know, thing off where it's just, you know, major kill scenes.
Yep.
You can still squeeze a shitty story in between there.
Yeah.
My opinion on it.
No, I agree. I agree. I really think that the fault in me is that I was hoping for something more.
Yeah.
I think the interviews kind of psyched me out. You know, the stuff I was reading from Damien Leone on his Twitter account or his X account his Instagram.
Oh, no, it was hyped up, dude. It was hyped up.
It was really hyped up. And the thing is, I'm seeing a lot of the same reviews. Like, everyone went to see it for the kill scenes. Everyone went to see Art the Clown. And they all felt like they were robbed because the story just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But again, if you keep in mind that this was a unrated B-movie that somehow pulled off, you know, $56 million, mind blown.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe this is going to lead to a trend.
Yeah,
we're gonna see a trend of horror films that say they snub their nose to the MPAA and say fuck this, we'll go unrated and see what we can do.
We'll have a bunch of Art the Clown knockoffs. I mean they do it all the time with different genres too. When you find a formula that's slightly new and makes more money than it expected, people just start copying it and trying to do the same thing.
Yep. And like we mentioned earlier, you know, the fact that this is the first unrated film since 1968 that has made this kind of money. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm going to say, you know, my rating is going to be, you know, the kill scenes are great. The story is shit. So I got to say 3.5 stars, maybe.
I was going to go 3.5, but I took a half off for.
Yeah, three.
I'm going
three. Yeah, I mean, because the kill scenes are fucking great.
I know.
Art is a great character, because the other thing that I pointed out is here's three movies where the guy doesn't say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting stabbed, punched, beat. He doesn't even go, ouch.
He did make a cough sound or something like that in this last movie. I forget what it was.
Really? I don't recall it.
Yeah, he did. He made a noise.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 3.5, too. I was leaning for, but the ending just kind of like seemed rushed, like you said.
I'm gonna put us down as our rating is 3.5 stars.
I love watching Art do his thing. I like the little like gestures he makes as he's fucking with people. You know, like,
yeah, he's funny as fuck. I love the funny shit that he does when he's killing people, because he just doesn't give a fuck. I mean,
like that girl who was talking about like wanting to see what evil, like real evil, looks like, and like, you know, so while he's fucking sawing her up, her boyfriend from his fucking genitals to his
dude,
he takes off his sunglasses and like smiles in her face, like
dude, that fucking character, man, and those kill scenes, like some of them I just can't even get out of my head, man. It's fucking bad. That bathroom sex scene was something else. What the fuck?
The amount of time that they just focus on that guy's balls and dick flopping around with the chainsaw.
Dude, and he took the chainsaw and he cut the dude completely in half from the groin up. Oh.
He rips a lot of faces off, too, which is one of the things that bothers me. He likes to rip faces off.
Yeah. There you go. 3.5 stars from the American Nightmare podcast. Watch this film because the gore scenes are fantastic. If you love horror, you love gore, you're good to go. All right, let's wrap this puppy up because we've been going for an hour. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to the American Nightmare podcast. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts or some general feedback, I don't know why I even say this. Nobody ever emails us. Nobody ever calls us. Again, the voicemail, 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. I'm thinking about doing a giveaway, but we need some interaction from people. I guess that's it. We're going to have the year's coming to an end. So we're going to have November, which will have a new film and a new top five list. December, we will do, our film pick of the year or we'll do like the top five films of the year. Yeah. And then in January, In January, we will do
our
reviewed film of the year. All the films are reviewed, what was our favorite?
And then in January, we do our top films of the full year that were put out in that year.
Even if they're ones that we didn't review, that's ones that we'll cover. Correct. That. So, thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you or you'll hear from us next time.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.